You are listening to a podcast from West Hill United Church located in Scarborough, Ontario, Canada. These podcasts are made possible by the generous support of our listeners, volunteers, and members of our community. To donate, go to our website, www.westhill.net, and click on the Canada Helps button, or go to westhill.net/donate.
Margo is going to be speaking here in May, and she is known nationally for her work on, restorative justice, yes, Sabona, and she'll tell you what that means in May. She's going to keep it a secret until then, so that you can come and find out what that means, but she's a real proponent for restorative justice and the work that the United Church has been involved in many ways as well, and so we welcome her here today.
Each week, in order to remain aware of our treaty obligations and our relationship with our First Nations brothers and sisters, we read one of the 94 calls to action that have been brought forward following the Truth and Reconciliation hearings a year ago in May. Today we're reading number 57. We call upon the federal, provincial, territorial, and municipal governments to provide education to public servants on the history of Aboriginal peoples, including the history and legacy of residential schools, the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples, treaties and Aboriginal rights, Indigenous law, and Aboriginal Crown relations. This will require skills-based training in intercultural competency, conflict resolution, human rights, and anti-racism.
Grounded, Guided, Growing, A Time for Centering, from Scott Kearns.
I just wanted her to come over, you know, close to
me. Doesn't happen often. You know, so. We are entering a time of centering and sharing, but also of affirming. And it's not affirming, you know, membership in a club, it's affirming a way of life that we try to live together. And when you say yes to that, when I say yes to that, I know that, you know, by Tuesday I will have fallen down in some aspect of it. But when I come back here, I know you're still looking me straight in the eye and saying, I love you. And that's a pretty amazing thing. So as we do that, we keep going over those ideas of being grounded in life, which is scary and wonderful and demanding and a privilege. And then we talk about being guided in that life by, and it's such an easy word to say, love, but we mean by that justice, restorative justice, and compassion for all people, regardless of what we happen to feel about them at the time. And then growing for wisdom to do that, because I need your wisdom and you need the other's wisdom to do that better each day. So we center around those, not a formula, just ideas. And we celebrate today that people are saying yes to that in a formal way, which if you're not doing that, you're still saying yes to those values if you choose. So it's not a divisive thing. It's an affirmative thing. So
we have two readings this morning from C. Joybell C. We can't be afraid of change. You may feel very secure in the pond that you're in. But if you never venture out of it, you will never know that there is such a thing as an ocean, a sea. Holding on to something that is good for you now may be the very reason why you don't have something better. In the second reading, what if you could pick one day of your life and everything would stop changing? Every day would be similar and comparable to that one day. You'd always have the same people with you. If you could do that, would you do it? Would you pick that day and make that choice? We crave for things to stop changing. We wish that things would never change. But if we got what we wanted, there are so many things that are better that we would never, ever know about. Sure, things would stay the same as that one wonderful day, but then there would be nothing else out there ever. Offered as wisdom for the journey.
Focused Moments from Greta Vosper.
Each week I write a focus moment to build on the theme of the week, and the theme this week is the last in our series on the attitudes of mindfulness. So today we're talking about letting go. And as those of you who have joined have just reached out and grabbed hold of, letting go maybe seems like the inappropriate thing to do. But in all of our rituals within the Christian church that have to do with membership, it's always about letting go of what was in order to be open to what might be. My musical. My muse has left. I'm just going to do the focus moments, and you usually help me with it. Thank you. We're looking for mood here, right? Okay. Absolutely. Thank you, Simon. A shuttered window. A winding road. A rising hillside. A deepening dusk. All hide us from the complete view, the full understanding of where we are and what, should we move, might come next. And we, aware whether we're choosing or not, are free to close our minds, refuse to bend, to lift ourselves above our current estate, to seek the light that will guide us. We are free to stay right where we are. Or letting go of what we know, take in the possibility of what may yet be. The starlit way, the hilltop panorama, the world outside the well-worn path, and life after all our yesterdays. This is why we hold hands, so that we might let go. You seem to be going somewhere. Oh, thank you. So, it's been 9 weeks that we've been on this journey, about maybe 20 since I started a mindfulness stress reduction program in a somewhat rewarding attempt to navigate life as it comes at me on a daily basis. People who have taken the mindfulness stress reduction program over the decades since Jon Kabat-Zinn first introduced it and started, after studying it for some period of time, introduced it to the wider world, bringing Eastern philosophies of meditation into the mainstream. Those people who have engaged with that program and stuck with it have found a way toward coping that has allowed them strength and courage,
allowed them to let go of what has been operating in their mind, in their heart, that has tethered them to discouragement and struggle and sorrow, in order to be present in the current moment. And any current moment is one that we have the opportunity to explore, to see what's happening in, to be present to ourselves. Yet so often we don't do that, and that's why you need an 8-week program to teach you how to pay attention to this minute right now, to the moment that we're in, to what's going on right now. And so letting go is the 9th one. There were 7 in his original list, and then he added generosity and gratitude, which we squeezed in before this final one, believing that letting go is probably the best one to end on. So if you bring up, non-judging was the first one that we talked about, how we tend to, in every situation, every moment, we tend to judge whether what is before us is something we're heading toward or something that we want to move away from, whether it's food, whether it's someone else, whether it's a place, whether it's time, whatever. Are we going to give ourselves to it, or are we going to protect ourselves from it? We judge in every moment. And Kabat-Zinn reminds us that it's only when you get past the busyness of that in your mind and in your heart that you can see what that moment is, that you can really recognize what it is and how you're responding to it, and make a decision that goes beyond just the judgment that happens in the second. Our second one was patience, and many of us have challenges with patience, some of us more so than others, but sitting with ourselves in that 8 weeks of the stress reduction program, the idea is to not necessarily foster patience with everyone out there, but to foster patience with ourselves. To recognize that the time and the forgiveness and the space that we give to other people is something that we often don't allow ourselves. That we want whatever is the next thing, that we expect ourselves to get it. I remember my son used to come home from skating once a year. He skated once a year every year until he was 9, and I forced him into classes. And he would come home and he'd say, "Those skates don't work either." There was no patience there to give himself the time to learn how to skate, and we need to give ourselves the time to learn how to be present in the moment. Following that, we talked about a beginner's mind and danced our way out of the hall as we sang a song about getting up in the morning every day and thinking that everything is fabulous. How many of you got up this morning and thought, "Woohoo! It's a new day"? Okay, one. Two, three, four. Okay, we're starting to get a little more honest here. But the vast majority of us get out of bed in the morning like, oh. Right? And so we listened to that song, Meghan Trainor's song, that suggested to us we should get up and think, "Woohoo, it's a whole new world today, and I am a whole new person." And so if we explore each moment with a, "What is this?" How much more we can get out of life. Following that, we looked at trust and finding a way to trust whatever it is that our responses can be. Not what they are. Our responses are often neurological impulses that go back through tens of thousands of years. But trusting that if we take the time and pay attention, we can find a response that is the right one for us. And so, too, the right one for the individual we are in relationship with. So trusting our way toward that response, and then trusting that response, is part of this process. Non-striving, which I find particularly difficult in some situations, I shared with you others where I shut down and stop striving because I'm afraid of breaking an equilibrium, of causing harm, of being hurt. And so if we stop striving, sometimes it can wobble us off to the wrong side of it as well. But not striving to be this, to do that, to live up to the goals that we've set for ourselves, to have the Sunday morning smile on every single week, just allowing ourselves to be, is an important gift that the program can offer us. Beyond that, acceptance. Accepting that we come to this moment with who we are. That's who we are. That's who came to this moment. We can't be someone else. We don't have someone else's yesterdays. We don't have someone else's memories. We haven't healed everything that's back behind us. Actually, in Hebraic thought, it's everything we can see from the past. The future is behind us because we cannot see it. So if we can learn to accept what it is that has gone on in the past and wrestle against those things that should never have happened, but that have helped us find a place of greater strength and encouragement of reconciliation and restoration, then how much stronger we are able to be in that moment of acceptance. Beyond that, our generosity, feeling generous for other people is something that we often do. I'll give you my time. I'll give you my energy. I'll let you come and stay at my place. Absolutely. You can borrow my car if you like. Just make sure you give me all the gift cards that are in the dashboard before you take off with it. One of the things that happens with people from West Hill. Generosity is something that we learn that we are to offer to other people. But we don't learn that we are to offer it to ourselves. And when we learn that we not only can but must be generous with our own hearts, what a difference, what a different perspective that gives us to this moment that we are in. So learning to become generous with ourselves, I think one of the quotes that week was that, we're always critical of ourselves because we see everybody else's polished, finished little strip of film, but we know our total, the be real. We know what we really look like. And we see everybody else there in their polished public way. Being generous with ourselves is an important point. Then gratitude. Sometimes it's hard to be grateful for everything that's gone on in our lives. Sometimes it's hard to take a step into gratitude and say, okay, that was a good thing, sort of. We wrote down the moments that had changed our lives, a significant moment in the first half of our life and a significant moment in the second half of our life. And almost everyone put down very good things that had happened that had changed their lives. Some put down negative things. Someone put down having to take dreadful piano lessons. I wondered if that was you. So now we're going to talk about letting go. You saw that hand that was just raised there, right? Well, Scott took piano lessons in Florida many years ago when he lived there. He and his sister both took piano lessons from the same piano teacher that I think he was thinking about when he wrote that down. Always struggling, never wanting to practice, but having to do what his mother told him because he was a very good child. But waiting for his sister when she took her piano lesson after him was a little bit of a trial. And so one day when he was waiting for her, he was sitting outside on the porch, and there were pillars at the bottom of the porch, and something had been knocked off one of them. So there was like a hole in the pillar. So Scott, being the curious kid that he was, looked down the hole. There was a ball in the hole. You're right. It was a yo-yo. Other people, scientists, tell this story about monkeys and bananas and holes and coconuts. But anyway, so Scott wants the yo-yo and reaches in to get the yo-yo. Of course, he can't get it out. His arm gets stuck in the pillar. So he's there listening to his sister tinkle away in the house while his arm gets rougher and rougher as he tries to get it out of the pillar. Eventually, the piano teacher comes out, and she's concerned, and Scott's parents have shown up, and they're concerned, and they're putting grease and stuff all over his arm, trying to get it off, and finally, his arm moves, but he won't let go of the yo-yo. So he's still stuck in the pillar. And I don't know what the conversation looked like that actually got him to let go of the yo-yo, but he's here today, so we know that he finally did. We all have things that we want to let go of and that we need to let go of. One of the books I was reading recently was talking about how if we're constantly going back to try to figure out why that happened or what happened or what our role was in it, we're constantly living in yesterday. We don't live in the moment. We don't live even in the future. We're constantly trying to figure it out. And I do that all the time. I'm constantly trying to figure out why so-and-so said that, or why I reacted in that manner, or what it is that got us to this place today, like really. And I'm constantly asked that question too. But living in the past is never going to allow us to be present today in the moment that we are, which is a transformative moment. So for those of you who joined the congregation today, and for those of you who have had that moment in the past, finding a way toward that moment, letting go of the reasons you wouldn't, or the reasons you couldn't, or the places you'd been, and the people who have had taught you, and the stories they'd embedded in your life, all of that brought you to the moment. But the moment of saying, I am here, the moment of saying, this is me, next to you and you, and embedded in this, I'm here right now. And only if you're here right now can that moment of becoming a member at West Hill, or that moment of stepping into a new relationship, or that moment of starting a new job, or that moment of forgiving someone, or that moment of forgiving yourself, only if we let go and are fully present, is that ever possibly a moment of transformation. By life, we are transformed. By the moment to moment, we can be transformation in action. We can find the holes in our lives and move into them with grace and beauty and honor. And we can find the holes in our relationships and move into them with those same things. We so need to do that in so many ways. At this moment in time, in this place, we hold together because of the love that we share with one another. We hold to the wider church because of the gift they have been to this community and the gift we can be to them. Just as in our discussion this morning, as everyone became members, we talked about the reciprocity of relationship. We have the opportunity to be light, to stay light, to make light. And we only have this moment. I'm going to move now into our communion. Today is a communion Sunday. Congregations around the world are taking part in communion because it's Worldwide Communion Sunday. And we have hot dogs for communion today. It was a little bit of a scheduling error. But we generally here at West Hill, communion is not something that we formally participate in here up at the front or that we share in the pews. It's the craziness of a meal. It's the interactions of a meal. It's gathering around a symbolic table. Because when we sit down at a table with someone, we look in their eyes and we have a conversation. We get to know something about them that we maybe never knew before. Maybe we see sadness and we just offer them silence and space. Maybe we see delight over brimming and we let them share everything that they have of their day that they want to give us. Maybe we see concern or fear or joy or delight or whatever. We open ourselves to one another. And as we do that, we strengthen our relationships. We create the resilience that is community in the same way we do at our sharing time. So the tables that have gathered people in our tradition together for generation after generation after generation. Those tables have been tables of transformation because we risk loving one another when we sit at table. The story that we've told throughout those generations is about a ragtag group of people who were excited about transforming the world. I don't think there's anything with more energy than a group of people that have an idea about changing the world. The joy and delight, the sparking of the imagination, the possibilities of tomorrow, the everything that's gone behind is thrown into a future of wonder and beauty and delight. And the conversations around that are titillating. They're just so exciting. People just never stop talking. So I imagine that when that meal took place, when those people gathered around that table, sure that they were going to bring some kind of newness to the world, bring people into right relationship with one another, no matter what the prejudices of the time were, no matter what they were, who they thought others might thought that they should exclude or who they felt perhaps shouldn't be present, they were going to have everyone there. And when everyone is there, can you imagine what it is we learn from one another? We're not tied to just the things that we know of the people around the table. What we're exposed to is exploded exponentially. And when that happens, how much we can learn, how much we can be transformed, how much we can go through all those realities and come down to a moment of extraordinary beauty and grace. And so when they gathered together, they shared food and they shared wine and they shared stories and they shared hope. And when we come to this place, the job that we do, the work that we have, is the work of coming to understand and know one another more deeply, of opening ourselves to transformation, of letting go of whatever our ideas of community might have been, whatever ideas of that person or that person might be, and finding our way in the moment that is to the relationships that might be. And so I share this prayer that we share each time we come together around this table, a symbol of our solidarity. We stand a world apart from those in other lands who too bow their heads in full and ripened gratitude for satisfactions such as ours. Pains relieved, lessons learned, hopes renewed. Their eyes scan strange horizons. Feet scuff their presence on distant soils. The meaning of the words with which their thanks is lifted is locked in tongues we may never comprehend. Their gods don't rise before us. There are no deities to whom we offer praise. But human hearts beat with a universal rhythm. They thrill at beauty, love, and grace. Pain stamps its matching stain on all our bodies. Hope, no matter whence it comes, feels much the same. We are the people of Pangaea. Once one, we've staggered far beyond our home, pushed apart by forces we cannot remember, to distances that saved us from our fractious selves. And we have soothed our solitudes by the stories we have told. They have whispered tales of privilege to us and stirred our hearts to fear those with whom our common blood flows. The time has come for our reunion. Far stronger than our differences, what makes us one, our love, our fears, our hungers, pulls us back toward each other. Our mythic, writhing stories, useless to the challenges we face, now start to fade. Their hold upon us loosens, and we are freed to cast new dreams into a future we will not see. May those visions shine humility before us, reverence as we ponder one another's lives. May they humble us by what we each hold in common, teach us truth, and give us strength to hear it told. And may new legends call us forth to grandeur, to living large and wonder-filled and free. And may they build within us a pledge to seeing in all a sacred beauty only we, as the people of Pangaea, can name. May our challenges be answered only with compassion and respect. And may our future be filled with great thanksgivings offered by those who walk together in dignity and love. Only we can make it so. And so we come together and share the common joys of drink and food and open our hearts to one another as we gather at the table, breaking bread and sharing juice and being present to one another. And as I bring this down to be shared, Scott, can you start our song, the river song? I'm going to bring the bread down to share, and as I'm doing that, the meal is going to be made available at the lounge doors, I believe, because it's hot dogs and we didn't know how to bring it into the hall very well. So Scott will start singing as we share the bread throughout community. Playing. Oh, Scott's going to sing. Yes. I'll start that and just break a piece off. Yeah, I should have some napkins.
There's a river flowing in my soul. There's a river flowing in my soul. And it's telling me that I'm somebody. There's a river flowing in my soul. There's a
can you put that on again and we'll stand up and sing it again, starting from the beginning? Thank you. We're just giving them a little more time out there.
There's a river flowing in my soul. There's a river flowing in my soul. And it's telling me that I'm so. There's a river flowing in my soul. There's a river flowing in my heart. There's a river flowing in my heart. And it's telling me that you're somebody. There's a There's a river flowing.
Thank you for sticking with those piano lessons. You go into a world where the moment is ignored, where the who you are is not seen, where the what we can be is too often not imagined. So I invite you to go there, letting go of this place and this moment and opening yourself up to everything you are in whatever moment, in whatever relationship, whatever place you find yourself, so that transformation can happen in your heart, in your relationships, and in the world at large. Go from this place after having hot dog and make light. Go in peace.
You have been listening to a podcast from West Hill United Church located in Scarborough, Ontario, Canada. These podcasts are made possible by the generous support of our listeners, volunteers, and members of our community. To donate, go to our website, www.westhill.net, and click on the Canada Helps button, or go to www.westhill.net/donate.